Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit to some people is a mystery. They kind of freak out about him. Can he be known? Who is he? I'd rather stay away from him. And whatever our preconceived notions that have come to us, we need to address those things, church, as we continue on in this real true discipleship series of how bad we need the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know. This collection of lessons is about the essentials of our faith, beginning with the attributes of Almighty God. And this lesson really takes a close look at that. Pastor Jack explains one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a mini-series called You Need to Know, all about God, the Holy Spirit.
1 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to start today, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, as we are now continuing on in our series, the You Need to Know series. And today we're looking at all about God the Holy Spirit. Last time we looked at the revelation of God. And today we embark upon all you need to know about the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And so I am under no illusion that we're going to cover much area this morning because of the nature of the topic, the Holy Spirit. Now when you hear a reference to the Holy Spirit, some of you say, oh boy, that's great. Some of you say, what? Some of you say, I'm going to take a few weeks off from church. Why would there be mixed responses to a study on the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the reasons would be because churches have abused the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to some people is a mystery. They kind of freak out about it. Can he be known? Who is he? I'd rather stay away from him. And whatever our preconceived notions that have come to us, we need to address those things, church, as we continue on in this real, true discipleship series of how bad we need the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get to heaven without the Holy Spirit. You will never understand one word of the Bible says, without the Holy Spirit. And so as we consider this, we are looking at none other than God the Holy Spirit. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to look into the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and how he relates not only to the Trinity, but to us in Scripture. Why is he important to us? And regarding the understanding of the Holy Spirit, it is essential in Christianity to understand who he is. And also the doctrine of the Trinity by which we come to know the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, regarding the Trinity, he says, elect, that is the believer, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the, who? What? Blood of Jesus Christ. Right here, and by the way, the Bible is laced with this truth. You have the Holy Spirit, capital S. Whenever you see capital S in your Bible, that is a reference to the person of the Holy Spirit. You've got none other than God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. The Trinity found in this verse and throughout Old and New Testament alike is a biblical fact. It is a biblical doctrine, the Trinity. And we're not going to get into that much today because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but we will later on in our studies together in this series. But just note this. You might counter and come back to me and say, but Pastor, I've got a bone to pick with you because the word Trinity doesn't even appear in the Bible. So how can it be biblical? Well, neither does the word Bible appear in the Bible. But the Bible's biblical. Listen, there's a lot of things that we understand that do not appear in the Bible in our English language. God is one. There's one God. We as Christians worship one God. This one God manifests himself in three personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit throughout the Scripture. And it's quite exciting to know each of them have different functions, though they're co-equal. Each of them, as it were, have different missions, though they are co-eternal. that they're in absolute agreement, yet in function, they manifest themselves to us, to the church, to the believer, in and for different purposes. Yet there's no contradiction in their person, in their mission, in the ministry of God. In fact, here's a great challenge for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God," think of that for a moment, "for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You might look at that verse right there and say, yeah, okay, so what of it? Well, this what of it? God. Jesus said that in eternity, when we get there, we shall see God. Think of it, God in his totality. How will we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in eternity? I don't know, but we will. This verse, that it's God who works in you. Bible students, what do you know? Who is at work in you the moment you come to Christ? The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And then it's all for his good pleasure, meaning God is at work, watch, in your life as a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll know more about this as we get into our study today. But one more. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the Trinity is mentioned yet again. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. As Paul says farewell to the Corinthians, he says there, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God," referring to the Father, "and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." God is a Trinity. He's singular, but he manifests himself in triunity. It's absolutely awesome. So here we go. We pick it up in what is really part two now, or I should say the second argument in our series. You need to know all about God the Holy Spirit. And so, who is God the Holy Spirit? Number one, and we'll be doing this for the next few weeks, he is God the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Will you jot that down in your note-taking? He's an actual person. The Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, has concepts, ideas. He has a will. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has emotions. He has feelings. He has a personality and characteristics. In fact, as we've just studied the attributes of God in our previous studies, all of those same attributes, you'll hear about some of them today, because the Holy Spirit, being God, of course, has the same attributes as the Father and the Son. As a person, we mean that he possesses these characteristics, but church, let's be careful that we approach him correctly. He's not a big one of us. The Bible says God created us in his image. And so whatever you and I have as a human being, completely apart from angels, completely apart from animals, God says he's created us in his own moral likeness. That means God the Holy Spirit has these divine, pure, holy attributes that are specifically allocated and reserved for a person. You see, why do you belabor this? Because, my friends, there are those who will tell us on our doorstep that the Holy Spirit's not really a person, it is a thing. Have you ever heard that at your door? Nice people, but they'll try to convince you, the Jehovah's Witnesses will, that the Holy Spirit is an it. It is a power, kind of like the force be with you, Luke. It's just a force. It's some sort of a divine appointed, ethereal, a celestial or terrestrial force, not a person. But we're going to see today in the subsequent weeks that God makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is in fact a person, and the Christian needs the Holy Spirit in his life. Not only do we need him, but we need to warm up to his presence in our lives. Because, my friends, listen, you need to know that if you love God and if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your walk with God, your hope of heaven, and your relationship here and now relating to God ain't going to happen without the Holy Spirit at work in your life. He is your friend beyond. He is the very one who we'll see in the next few weeks is your guarantor that you'll get to heaven. It's his job. He's responsible to get you to heaven. I like that. He's at work to get you there. But he's a person. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, 6, as a person, he possesses all truth. There the Bible says, and it is the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, who bears witness, Man, this is true. Hang on. This is powerful. Because the Spirit is truth. What does that mean? It is the Holy Spirit speaking to what some would say, well, that's just your conscience. By the way, I always like challenging non-believers or people who don't believe in God to have them explain conscience. Explain conscience or the consciousness of man. Nobody's been able to explain it yet to the 21st century. The Bible answers that, by the way. The Bible tells us that God the Holy Spirit is speaking, we'll see in John's gospel, into your very consciousness. And the great thing about this is he speaks truth. God is, that is God the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. As a person, he possesses all wisdom. We get this from Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? Now, again, God the Holy Spirit does not need teaching. He doesn't need education. He's God. He knows everything. But he possesses all wisdom, which is an attribute of God, because the Holy Spirit, of course, is God. And you know this. And then thirdly, under this personhood of the Holy Spirit, is that he possesses all life. In the next few weeks, we're going to see specifically how we'll ask the question, how is it that Jesus Christ was able to be risen from the dead? You might say, well, I guess Jesus did that. Or you might even say God did that. And you're accurate. You're true. You're right about that. But did you know the Bible says specifically that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit? That is awesome. Oh, by the way, you'll be raised from the dead the same way, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit introduces us to the very nature of who he is with emphatic language. I say emphatic meaning this in two ways. And look, I'm going to say this, not to freak you out. This is just fact of the Bible. Don't get all crazy on me here. But number one, the Bible reveals, the Holy Spirit reveals himself in the Bible as the Holy Spirit. What do you mean the Holy Spirit? The word means in the definite article, the Holy Spirit, meaning there ain't no other Holy Spirit coming. There's only one Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. You say, well, duh. Well, but wait a minute. Why does the Bible go to great lengths to say the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible also says there are a lot of other spirits out there. We should be playing like X-File music or Twilight Zone music right now. You see, what are you talking about? Listen, the Bible says that there are a lot of spirits out in the world that are influencing people that are demonic activities, demonic spirits. They manipulate, they play among the minds of man. Boy, you look at what's going on in the news and you see some of the images, and I don't know if you have the stomach for it, but you watch some of these beheadings on at YouTube of these ISIS guys beheading Christians. And the stuff they're doing to little kids, unbelievable. And I'm convinced now after seeing that stuff, there's no way that a human can think that stuff up. It's beyond human thinking that up. This stuff's demonic, man. Sick, freakish. Well, listen, the Bible makes it a very, very clear point that he is the Holy Spirit because there are unholy spirits out there. Demonic activity. And by the way, it's increasing in the world. And the Bible says we need to watch out and be on alert or on guard because there are many spirits out there behind doctrines of demons and false doctrines. How would we ever know what's true or false? Because as we shall learn, it is the Holy Spirit who uses the Holy Bible to speak into your life about the holy God and what's holy true. Not what's holy true for you. Well, you know, what's true for you is not maybe true for me. That's insanity. That's humanism. He is the Holy Spirit. And he's come to give us the truth in wisdom that we might have life. And in Romans 8, verse 2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the source of our spiritual life. And so that's an important thing. The other thing is, and this is what I warned you about, don't freak out. The Bible, in very few, very rare areas, but almost always refers to the Holy Spirit in a male gender setting, that he's a male. Now, I'm not saying he's a male, like he's a man. I'm saying that God has revealed to us in our humanity that which we would understand, that the Holy Spirit has chosen to reveal himself in the masculine. But don't panic if there's any women's liberals here and you're going to run out and freak out. Oh, my goodness. Listen, Forget about that. God is simply saying, I'm strong for you. I'm mighty for you. I'll be there for you. And to prove my point, Jesus, in the second coming, when he comes back to earth, the Bible says his legs are like burning brass. His robe is dipped in blood, splattered with blood. On his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that his hair is white like snow and his face is brighter than the sun. And Jesus' eyes, is this kind of freaking you out about your little picture of Jesus that you had on your little Jesus making mild? When Jesus comes back, it is going to be awesome because the Bible says that when his face is seen by the world, even the sun and the moon will flee from his presence, and his eyes will be a flame of fire, and out of his mouth will go forth the word of God. And listen to this, in all this masculine talk, he's on a horse, he's coming to earth, it's like, awesome! And it says, and across, listen, in the Greek, not in the English, in the English, in the New King James or whatever, it probably says, and across his chest is a golden band, you know, a sash or whatever you want to call it. In the Old King James, if you have that in Revelation, it says across his paps, P-A-P-S. If some of you are here as old as the Old King James Bible, you will begin to recognize, oh, that's a female breast. That's right. And all of this power, he's coming back and all of his glory and all the flame of fire. And it says across his breast is this band. You see, that's just kind of freaking me out right now. The word means that in all of his power, God possesses nurturing, caring, loving attributes. By the way, he's the same in the old as he is the new. God is this one and only awesome Savior and Lord. He's the Almighty God, and he manifests himself to us by the person of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. Many times in the Bible, he's referred to as the one who comforts us and leads us and guides us. And then listen, he's a person. God the Holy Spirit is. He's a person. Ezekiel 36, 27 tells us, God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This is important. And you will keep my judgments and do them. How do you hear that? Do you see God like this? I will put my spirit in you. You will keep my statutes and you will do them. Do you hear me? Is that how you hear him talk? Or do you hear him saying this? I will put my spirit in you and you will keep my judgments and you're going to do them. Why? What's the qualifier? Because his spirit is in me. Look, I can unfurl the 10 commandments. I can unfurl 10,000 commandments. You can't keep them. Go ahead and try. We've all tried already. You can't keep them. You can't do it. God says, this is how you will live the life that I will accept. It's only through my spirit being in you, and he's the one who will give you supernatural ability to walk with me, to live with me, to know me. God works in your life as a believer, not as someone who's religious, forget it, not as someone who keeps the rules and does all these things. We can't do it. God says, I'll put my spirit in you, and you'll follow me that way. That's how you'll do it. The Holy Spirit will be God, the Holy Spirit, in your life as a person. And God relates to us as you relate to one another in the familiarity of personhood. God speaks. The Bible says, and we'll see in the next few weeks, the Holy Spirit speaks. He leads us. He guides us. How do we know the will of God? We're going to find out. It's by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Do I make this decision or do I make that decision? How am I to know? The Bible's going to make that very clear. He's not a thing. And then number two, God the Holy Spirit is the Lord. I mean, this is obvious, right? But we need to hear this. You said, Jack, didn't you just mention that a few weeks ago that God is the Lord? Yes, I did. God is the Lord. But now as we take our microscope and zoom in, we are now announcing biblically that the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Oh, by the way, the Father is the Lord and Jesus is the Lord. We don't have three lords. We have one Lord manifest in three personalities. God the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Note the deity of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And boy, I tell you, we don't have time to read much of this chapter, but I'll read verse 11. Before I read it, you guys remember what precedes the verse 11? I mean, there's a list there of rank sinners. I mean, men, the Bible goes down the list right there and says, oh, by the way, I'm paraphrasing, of course. Oh, by the way, these are those who will not go to heaven. Remember that list? Sexually immoral, the drunkenness of fornicators, adulterers, sodomites, homosexualities, violent people, arrogant, proud, and by the time you read that, you're black and blue. And you're about ready to jump onto the train track. And then verse 11 pops up. Because who's not guilty? Come on. Verse 11, and such were some of you. I love that. And such were, whew, past tense, some of us. Read the fine print. And such really were all of us. If we didn't do it, we might have thought about it. But you were washed. How were we washed? But you were sanctified. Hey, I want to know how I was sanctified. But you were justified. Notice it's all past tense as a believer. How was I justified? In the name of our Lord Jesus. Oh, that's cool. And what? By the Holy Spirit of our God. Did you hear that? Can someone say amen? Are you going to go to heaven? Yep. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit's done this to you. He has washed you. He has justified you. He has sanctified you. He has done these things. It's his work. Look, with all due respect, don't take this the wrong way. Jesus lived here 33 and a quarter years, and then he went back to heaven from where he came. The Holy Spirit, though, was sent on the day of Pentecost, and he's been here ever since. He needs a vacation in my book. I mean, the stuff that he's been putting up with when it comes to just Jack's life. He is under orders by Jesus himself to never leave me nor forsake me. How does he do that? He stays with me. He stays with you. It is the Holy Spirit that has been contending with all of our unbelief or our fear or our arrogance or our pride or our unbelief. All the stuff he goes through. Why? To bring you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, not religion. Listen, I can safely say it's the Holy Spirit who doesn't want you to join a church. If you think joining a church is going to get you into heaven, you're deceived. If you think that because you're better than somebody else on your street that you're going to go to heaven, you've not read your Bible. There is no way for you and I to get from here to heaven without one thing, and that is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because listen, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says the Bible. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to open your eyes to that reality that you and I need the salvation of Jesus Christ, which he bought. And when we come to him receiving that gift, knowing we are sinners and we need to repent, meaning we need to agree with God that we've sinned against him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit, a look at what Scripture has to say about the third person of the Trinity. It's a lesson that's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can catch Pastor Jack's TV program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, on YouTube? Did you know that there are a number of advantages to this? For instance, if you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, you'll be notified every time a new video is uploaded. You can easily share them with a friend or post them on your social media site. The programs are all categorized, so it's real easy to navigate by subject matter. We've also made it real easy for you to find it at our own reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And at the bottom of the page there, just click on YouTube, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.